Galatians chapter 6. I'll begin reading in verse 1. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I've on numerous occasions preached and taught on the principle of reaping and sowing. I've taught not only from these particular passages of Scripture that principle, but it's a principle that runs consistent throughout the Scriptures. You'll end up reaping the things that you sow. Even Solomon said, you roll a rock, it's going to roll back on you. That's really not what I want to speak to you about, but wrapped up in verse 9 is basically the thought of consideration that I want us to think about this morning. I want us to ponder the consistency of well-doing. We are recipients of those that were that served the Lord, that gave their lives for the Lord. We are the recipients of well-doers. Today, this large audience gathered this morning in worship of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in service to the Lord, upholding the Lord's teachings, principles, and doctrines is the result of somebody doing well. Amen. Serving the Lord, and I want to say this before I continue. I was almost amazed at what Brother Jones read from the 37th Psalm, verse 3. He took one of my texts when he read this morning in his devotion in Sunday school. Trust in the Lord and do good. There's a lot wrapped up in that passage. Trust in the Lord and do good. I want to speak to you this morning about well-doing. Now, in the book of Galatians, there's a lot of things that were going on. In this particular church, Paul was concerned about them. He told them that they were prone to be deceived, and don't be deceived. Be not deceived. There were a lot of things that they had adopted because of the ongoing Judaizers. They had been led astray from the simplicity of the gospel, some of them had. And Paul was trying to get them back on track. And he was challenging them to be consistent and persevere in well-doing. Now, we need that encouragement. We need that motivation today. Now, in this passage, we're going to learn that there's a lot of reasons why we need to engage, why we need to be encouraged and motivated to do well. There are a lot of hindrances. There are a lot of heartaches. There are a lot of hardships. We are prone to become weary in well-doing. And Paul writes to the people at this particular church and said, don't become weary in doing well. You will reap in due season if you faint not. Let's begin by noticing this call to engagement. Secondly, we're going to notice the encouragement that he gives us and the motivation. But the call to engagement is well-doing. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be doing well, doing good. Now, this particular well-doing mentioned here in verse 9 is not the kind of well-doing that falls in the category of worldly well-doing. There's a lot of good deeds that are done in the world. This particular category of well-doing is doing things for God, doing things in the church, doing spiritual things. Now, some of you may coach softball or soccer or something like that, and perhaps that's considered well-doing. You give of your time and of your energy. That's not the kind of well-doing being mentioned in verse 9. You may have given yourself to some political party, and you've given your time and your energy to something like that. Or perhaps you get to work early, and you fix the coffee for your coworkers. That's probably doing well for on your job, or for your friends, or for your neighbors. But there's a specific kind of well-doing being referred to in this passage. We're talking about things that advance the cause of God. In this passage, the well-doing is in a category of itself. It's referring to spiritual things. It's referring to the advancing of the gospel and the teachings of Jesus Christ. It's referring to doing things that will bring glory in the church and the advancement of the cause and the continuation of the gospel. So there's a specific, notice here, there's a specific kind of well-doing being referred to. That's important. Let's not confuse this well-doing with evil-doing. Let's not confuse this well-doing with the well-doings that we might do in the world. I know a lot of you volunteer for various things and help in various areas and give your time and money and energy, and all that's good. We should do those things. But this well-doing is work being done in the church of the true and living God. Mark that down. It's not just any old kind of well-doing, but it's the good deeds that are done for the advancement of the cause of Jesus Christ. Lay hold of that. Secondly, I want us to know that we need to have a resolving in our well-doing. Thirdly, I want us to notice it's not just a professing or a feeling that we have. There must be a commitment in our hearts, in our lives, to working and laboring for God. I remember when I first submitted to that call to serve the Lord. I remember when the Holy Spirit led me to join the church and be baptized. Do you remember that? When I was called out from among the world to be identified with the body of Christ. You guys know what I'm talking about? And I stepped forward to follow the Lord in baptism, to commit my life to Him, to His teachings. There needs to be that kind of resolve in the heart before you can ever do any well-doing for God. Now, I know we've got a lot of renegade preachers, and we've got a lot of renegade Christians, and they think they can do all kinds of well-doing outside of the church. I don't believe a word of it. I believe there's to be glory unto Him by Christ Jesus in the church throughout all ages, world without end. Jesus came here and established His church in the world. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I'll tell you how I feel about it real clear. This is one of those churches. Victory Missionary Baptist Church is a church of the true and living God. And you need to be part of His church. He said, I will build my church. And it's the church of Jesus Christ. And He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. My friend, first of all, in order for you to be a doer of good and be a well-doer, you must be a member of the Lord's church. There must be a leadership of the Holy Spirit and resolve in your heart. It's more than just a profession, though. There's action. We are called to engage in action. to do something for the Lord, not just join the church and put your name on the church roll and do anything you want to do. No, you need to commit your life in service unto Him. You need to find your place and let the Holy Spirit lead you in His church. Amen. I assure you, if you're part of the mystical body of Christ, He has a place for you. He has a design for you. He has a work for you. You will be part of that body, and you will function within that body in unison and in harmony with the rest of the body, Jesus Christ being the head. Amen. You need to find your place. Amen. In order to be a well-doer that this passage has reference to. All right. It's more than just a profession. A lot of people profess to be a church member. I remember I went to a funeral a few years back. I've been a pastor here for a long time. I thought I had met all the church members. Apparently not. He came up to me. I introduced myself. He introduced himself. And it didn't register that he was on the church roll. You know, I don't have everybody's name memorized. I generally can remember a face. And if you come here on a frequently and you serve the Lord here, I'll know you. Because I've counted you. And pastors need to count the sheep from time to time. But he caught me off guard. And after he introduced himself, he said, "I'm a member of your church." And I said, "Wow, really?" It's more than just a profession. Amen. It's more than just having your name on the church roll. Amen. This kind of well-doing mentioned in verse 9 implies being plugged in, being involved, being engaged in a particular work, where you're laboring together with God. Isn't that what Paul said? One might plant, the other might water. God gives the increase, but we are laborers together with God. I mentioned that it's more than just a profession and more than a feeling. There's a lot of people that have all kinds of excitement, and excitement is good. I like that. Sometimes we have not just good feelings of joy and happiness, but we have sorrow and heartache and difficulties and anxieties. There are experiences that we enjoy. There's peace and love, and all these are wonderful, but the passage refers to action, doing something, not just feeling it, but responding and doing something for the Lord. Something that brings eternal good and spiritual good. All right, sowing seeds. Sowing seeds. Every day of your life, you're sowing some kind of seed. Every day of your life. I've preached on that here in the past. Every day of your life, you're sowing some kind of seed. It's either a good seed or it's bad seed. And a few years later, something's going to spring up from that seed. Either something good or something bad. Whatever the case may be, you will reap what you sow. You will. Guaranteed. It's a promise. He tells us, though, in the course of our life, we need to be well-doers. We need to be sowing good seed. Is that important? Everlasting seed. Spiritual seed. So how do we do that? Well, first of all, I think well-doing starts with self-respect. Secondly, you need to have respect for the Savior. Thirdly, you need to have respect for the sinner. First of all, it begins with self-respect. Well-doing starts with you being right with God. I mean, in order for you to be in this category, in this class of doing well, that is has respect to spiritual things, eternal things, holy things, righteous things, things of God, you must be right with God first. Amen. You remember when the rich young ruler came to Jesus in the 19th chapter of Matthew, said, "Good master." Jesus said, "There's nobody good but God." This kind of doing well comes as a result of the goodness of God. You have to feel, in order for you to be a well-doer, your life has to be full of the goodness of God. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. He alone is good. And in order for that goodness to be spread abroad, you must have a lot of God's goodness in your life. How does that happen? How does the goodness of the Lord come to your life? Well, it begins with conversion. You've got to be saved. There's a lot of people that are trying to do good. They want to be well-doers. They're trying to serve the Lord as Christians without a conversion. My friend, you can't do that. You must first be born again of the Spirit of God. You must have the blood of Jesus applied to your heart. So, in order to be a well-doer, you must first be a person who is born again of the Spirit of God. And in addition to that, after you get saved, you need to join the church and you need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. You need your light placed on the candlestick that you might shine to a lost and dying world. You grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. If you're going to be a well-doer, you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to study the Word of God. Amen? You got to plug yourself into some of the activities going on at church. You're going to have to try to live like the Savior. And love the world and not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen? So there's a likeness of Christ that must be in you and a part of you. If the Lord's not in you, you're none of His. And none of His goodness will come out of you until you have Jesus in your heart. You know what I'm talking about, people? To have Jesus in you. Paul, after all the great missionary things that he had done, all the missionary journeys, all the people he had reached, all the gospel that he had preached, and all the people he had touched in his work and in his labor and the giving of himself and the sacrifice of himself, it came to this one quote. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. It all goes back to him, doesn't it? So, if you're going to be a well-doer, it starts with you. You're getting right with the Lord. And you're serving the Lord, being faithful to the Lord, praying to the Lord, praising the Lord, and serving the Lord. Secondly, I talked about it being having some respect for the Savior. A respect for the church. Now, I have a problem with this notion that Christianity or salvation is to work outside the confines of the church. I have a problem with that. This gospel is to be spread through the church. It was the church that was given the commission to go into all the world and spread this gospel. I believe in church authority. I really do. I believe that the church has the authority, the church of Jesus Christ, and the church of Jesus Christ alone has the authority to spread the gospel and baptize people. Now, we've had a lot of people that just started religions and started churches, and they started preaching their gospel and started baptizing people and all this. They're not churches. They never had scriptural authority. They didn't. Amen? Amen? After you have had personal salvation and you enjoy the personal happiness of serving the Lord, then you're part of that mystical body. You're part of the church of the true and living God. And being in the church of the true and living God, there are responsibilities and privileges that you enjoy. I'm not going to camp out on the responsibilities too much today. You need to learn what they are. But there are some wonderful privileges that we enjoy in trying to serve the Lord. When we come together in one place in the name of the Lord, we do well when we praise Him. We do well when we show up with the right kind of attitude and the right kind of spirit, in the right kind of frame of mind, with the right kind of heart. Amen. When our hearts are clean. Amen? Amen? Won't the Lord visit us when we come together in His name and we've got the sins that we committed perhaps through that week under the blood. And the Lord's Spirit is resting upon us, and we meet in the name of the Lord to worship Him and to praise Him. We're doing well. Amen. Well for the church. Well for the cause. Well for the community. When we come together and we uphold the truth that is preached and presented in this holy word, we do well. When you confirm that truth with your lives, with your amens, with your sanctioning it and taking it abroad and telling your co-workers about how we met together in the name of the Lord and the things that the Lord brought to us that day. Now, I don't know about you, but I think when we leave this place, we ought to brag on our church. Amen. We have too many negative folks out there in the world, and that's some of the weariness in this passage that I'd like to get to before I leave it. That frustrates us, causes spiritual fatigue, is all the negativity. Now, I believe that when there's a problem, we ought to address it. I'm not saying we're supposed to push some problem under the rug. But just being negative to be negative isn't productive. And some of the stuff that happens, we can't help. We do well when we come together and keep the ordinances. I don't know about you, but I feasted on last Sunday night all into the week. Feasted on it. Didn't you? The Lord met with us and we showed the Lord's death. The church house was full. That was a blessing. Keeping the ordinances. Keeping them pure. I think that's important. You may not, but I do. I believe we ought to keep baptism as pure as the Lord taught it in His holy word. They went down into the water and they came up out of the water. Anything short of that is not baptism. Amen. We got to keep the ordinances. We have to take a stand. We do well when we try to support and hold up the truth to the world. The world is confused. Amen. Christianity today is confused. They think anything and everything goes. I'm telling you, that kind of liberalism within Christianity has hurt the name of God's church. Somebody's got to stand up there and be a voice. Somebody's got to cry in the wilderness and prepare the way of the Lord. Not their own way, not man's agenda or man-made doctrines or some kind of heresy, but somebody's got to prepare the people of this community for the ways of the Lord. And I'm telling you, His paths are straight. Got too much crooked Christianity in the world. We need some straight-up preaching of old-fashioned, old-time, heartfelt religion. Comes right out of this word. Amen? Gets down in your soul and straightens you out. It'll straighten you out. It will. It'll fix whatever wrong going on in your heart and your life. I'll tell you something. You get the Holy Ghost involved, He'll look deep down into your heart and the Word of God will cut you. It'll pierce you to the dividings under soul and spirit, to the very joints and marrows of your being. Open you up. You'll sit there in the house of God under the preaching of His holy word, under divine inspiration that we read from the scriptures, and it will cause you to feel exposed. Wherein all things are open unto Him to whom we have to do. Amen. I'm here to slay you right there in your seat. Yeah. Many times growing up church, as a young boy, and even after I was in my teens, the Word of God opened me up real good. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I was sitting there. I remember when I was running from my call to preach one time. I can almost take you to the very, within two pews at least, to where I was sitting. Preacher was up there preaching, and I was trying to hide behind the person in front of me. I hide the person from me. I get behind them. Just hiding behind. I'd glance up occasionally. Man, it was just opening me up, slaying me right there, exposing what was going on in my heart. You almost felt like people could see it. Amen. You know what I'm talking about?
The devil can say what he wants to, and the world can say what it wants to, but I'll tell you something. We need preaching. Amen. We need sound preaching in this, in our churches and in the world. Preaching is well doing. Testifying is doing well. And most saints get up and they testify of the saving grace of God and how God had worked in their lives. When they would praise the Lord, that's well doing. People, let's not grow weary in well doing. I got to move on. The other things. Well, let me mention just a couple others in this category of respecting the Savior, respecting your church. Showing up is important. I want to say how much I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you listening to me. I know I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I know I make mistakes. You know, I don't know that I'd come and listen to myself. But you come. And I'm convinced that the reason you come is because you look beyond me. I believe you look beyond me. And I think that when we come together and we want to hear from God, we are doing well. When we show up at church, when we come to church and we say, Lord, speak to me. I want to hear from heaven. Bring a word from the Lord. Not from man, not from the preacher, not from the committees that are in the church, but from the Lord. And we come together and we hear from the Lord. We do well. All right. The world. We need to be engaged. There's a call to engagement. And we need to be engaged with respect to the sinner or the world. We're to be in this world, but we're not to be conformed to it. The world needs to be saved. The world is lost. We do well when we try to reach the world. I thought about Moses, I believe it was, in Numbers 10. I preached on that sometime back, maybe last year or something, where he said, come go with us. We'll do you good. That's what we need to be telling the world. They need to be able to look at us and see that there's something special in us, that God is with us, that His peace, the Prince of Peace, resides in our hearts. They need to be able to see that there's something different to the degree that they want it. People, we have eternal life. We're going to heaven. We know that we know that we know we're saved. We've been born from above and God is with us. He's helping us. Hasn't He helped you? He's helped me. He's helping us. And we ought to look at this world that's full of sin and despair and on their way to hell and say, come, go with us. We will do you good. We need to hold forth the word of light to this lost world. We need to call on them to come to Jesus. We need to cry out to them. We need to weep over them. We need to pray for them. We do good when we pray for the world. Now, it's frustrating. And I want to talk about the exhortation in this passage where he says, be not weary. Verse 9, don't grow weary with all this stuff. But don't we from time to time? Do you ever get frustrated? There was an issue that came up here recently, and I know I'm pretty transparent. You guys know me pretty good. And I just told my wife, I said, I don't know if I've got the fight in me. You ever grown weary? Actually, the reason he encourages them not to be weary is because there's the potential of becoming weary in this kind of work. Now, you need to write that down in your Bible. If you try to do all these things that I've been talking about, if you engage yourself, there are going to be occasions and times in your life where it will just wear you out. Do not become frustrated. Do not grow weary. What was it Paul said when, in the 15th chapter, in the resurrection chapter, last verse, 58 or so? What did he say? What did he tell us in that passage? Stand steadfast and unmovable,
always abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor is not in vain in the Lord. But aren't there occasions when it's hard to always stand? Don't we just want to sit down? And isn't that in our nature sometimes? Aren't we prone to just quit and give up? The text, verse 9, tells us that there's a variety of dangers that could cause us to become weary. I remember there was a church that I visited, and I was talking with some old people, older people in the church, and actually the church was primarily made up of older people, and they were discussing some of the difficulties that they had been facing as a small church with just a lot of older people in it. And they lost two or three generations. Most of the youth had left. And they were in need of a pastor. And they were looking for a pastor. And they were small, and they were trying to pray about this. And I remember I was talking to this lady about it, and she said, "You know something? We're tired. We've been doing this for 50 years, and we're simply tired." Does it happen? Is that possible? Will lives be affected if we grow weary? This passage calls on us to persevere, but also tells us or informs us that there are a variety of difficulties. There are physical and emotional and spiritual difficulties associated with the work. If you're really sacrificing yourself for the Lord, there's going to be hardships. It's going to get tough. I think one of the things that perhaps puzzles me and wears me out more than anything else are the occasions where I have given myself. I mean, you know, really tried to do well regarding an issue, regarding a subject, regarding a family, regarding a problem that develops in a family. And I would give, and I would give, and I would give, and I would give, and I would try to help, and I would pray, and I'd spend hours upon my knees concerning this matter, concerning this person, concerning this issue. And it'll come back and just slap you in the face. And sometimes you grow weary with that. You ever had that happen? I mean, you've given all this energy, and it knocks you down. Somebody, the very person that you were trying to help, just causes all kinds of problems in your life. The very person that you've given hours upon hours helping and forgiving and studying and praying for, trying to find wisdom and understanding and solutions, and you work through all those things, and that very person will just be a Judas. Come on, preachers. I should have got an amen from you. You guys know what I'm talking about. Many of the pastoral exchanges, many of the pastors that leave churches leave because of that rather than the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Talked to Brother Gentry Friday at the Wiseman Association. Somebody said, "How long have you been at Victory?" I said, "Not as long as Brother Gentry. He's been at North Carthage." And they said, somebody said, "Well, how long has he been there?" He said, "I've been there 41 years. Said, I tried to leave one time and the Lord almost killed me." That's what he said. But all of these things can become very taxing upon us. We can be depleted, it seems, of our energy and of our strength. And I'm not just talking about pastors, but I'm simply talking about doing well. If you try to do well, there'll be all kinds of obstacles. There'll be all kinds of problems. You will have hindrances. You will have a variety of problems. You have the potential of becoming weary from well-doing. The toil. This whole passage refers to Time's getting away from me. Toil. I mean, it's having reference to toil. Working for the Lord. It's work. Serving the Lord is work. It's not pleasure. It's work. If you serve the Lord, if you do well, it'll be work. It's a challenge. It's labor. There are many difficulties in the course of well-doing. It just makes sense. Satan is against us. He can take stuff and he can twist stuff. He's a liar. And he's the father of lies. And he'll get right smack dab in the middle of your well-doing. He will. And that's frustrating. Sometimes it doesn't turn out as well as you intended for it to. You know what I'm talking about? You're trying to do something good and it just doesn't end up being good. Come on now. Surely you Christians that have been in this sowing for in service to the Lord for any length of time know what I'm talking about. Lastly, sometimes you just feel like that it's in vain. You're trying to do well and you've worked and 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 you've served and it seems like you're not making any headway. Not making any progress. You've been trying to be a soul winner. You look back over your shoulder and it looks like nobody's gotten saved as a result of your evangelism efforts. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Listen to this passage. As we come to a conclusion, something that's given to us to motivate us. We are motivated in this passage not to faint. We shall reap if we faint not. Haven't we reaped? You know, the devil has a way of disguising or blinding us to some of the benefits of us serving the Lord. But you know, you serve the Lord, you'll reap here some. Amen. We'll call them first fruits. Permit me to use that expression lightly, okay? Don't hold my feet to the fire about it. But it's kind of first fruits. Look at the people that's been saved. Look at the good that's been done. The children and grandchildren. Last youth night, I was sitting right over there and I looked up here at all the young people that were singing in the choir. And every one of them in that choir had been saved since I've been here. And I'd baptized every one of them that had been saved. We do receive rewards here. If you sow, you will reap. But it's only first fruits. There's other things that we will enjoy. Amen? There's other blessings. There's the great harvest, the coming of the Lord. I assure you that Victory Church, if it stays on course and it doesn't grow weary in well-doing, it will reap in the harvest at the coming of the Lord. Amen? Amen? Listen, my friend, generations to come, mark it down. Continue to do well. And in your well-doing, there will be a reaping, a grand and glorious harvest that will come at the coming of the Lord when Jesus splits the eastern skies, amen? And we are gathered into his presence. And we'll walk down that aisle as the bride of Jesus Christ. I appreciate your attention. I preached a little longer than I intended this morning. Do not grow weary in well-doing, church. You will reap in due season if you faint not.